Well, it is time for hour two, and our elusive guest has arrived. Patty Schaffner is in the studio with us, and we're happy to have her. The new album is called From the Left Side of My Heart, and we're going to start off with a song, so let the music do the talking. This is a special song that she has chosen called Balancing Act, and we'll be talking with Patty right after this.
It's a crazy world, gonna have to get away from it all. Such a crazy world, you know there ain't no safe place to fall. And moment to moment, it's a balancing act. You gotta stay light on your feet, ready to move if the blow comes your way, or lean into something sweet. In a crazy world, it's a crazy world, you know you need someone on your side to help you steer the boat, stay afloat, find the breeze, help you turn the tide. And moment to moment, it's a gambler's game, hoping to beat all the odds, saying a prayer as the wheel starts to spin, to the fates or the unseen gods. In a crazy world, easy to see how it all falls apart when you try to hang on to the prize. But I hope that you'll come and dance, take a chance, look this fool in the eyes. It's a crazy world, here we are on the edge, looking over the side. Such a crazy world, who'd have thought together we'd take this ride. And moment to moment, it's a balancing act, yes. Love is for fools, so they say. We're heading off on a wing and a prayer to the light of a brand new day in a crazy world. And it's easy to see why it all falls apart, 'cause we try to hang on to the prize. But I hope that you'll come and dance, take a chance, and look this fool in the eye. It's a crazy world, here we are on the edge, looking over the side. Such a crazy world, who'd have thought together we'd take this ride. And moment to moment, it's a balancing act. Love is for fools, they say. And we're heading off on a wing and a prayer to the promise of a brand new day. In a crazy world, yeah, crazy world, crazy, crazy, crazy world.
You're listening to Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Tasty little song there. It's a balancing act, and that's what the music business is. And to tell us about it and about that song and her new album, Patty Schaffner's here. The album's called From the Left Side of My Heart, and it's been out a couple months now.
We did the physical release August 21st.
Okay. So yeah. How's it doing?
Well, you know, times are tough. It's doing okay, though. Mm-hmm. I was just attended the Folk Alliance Regional Midwest, and so I got a little more exposure there. And
what exactly is that, for those that aren't familiar with that?
Folk Alliance. Mm-hmm. Folk Alliance is a national organization that helps to support folk artists. And I don't really know where I fit anymore, but
I was going to say, that was kind of jazzy.
Well, you know, I do love jazz.
Right.
And given that opportunity, that's what I prefer to do. But, you know, those of us who don't really have a place to fit, and we're not exactly traditional, but we don't fit anywhere else, Folk Alliance is a good place. And they have national conferences. And mm-hmm. the conference here, interestingly, in the Midwest is called FARM.
FARM?
Yep.
Okay.
Folk Alliance Regional Midwest. So I just was on there and get to play a few showcases and... got a little more airplay that way, and also Lily Kuzma up at WDCB in Glen Ellen loves the album and has been playing cuts from it.
What is the song that's starting to catch fire with people? What is the one that they're noticing first?
The one that they love the most, actually, is I Will Be Here Still. And I Will Be Here Still is one of those songwriter gift songs. You know mm-hmm. how they hit you with a... bolt of lightning.
Right. One of those things you're not waiting, you wake up and you like, I got an idea, write it down.
Well,
or you're driving and you grab your phone and start dictating.
And here's what happens.
All right.
So for those who don't know, my husband died 2 years ago. In fact, last year when I was here, we did the spoken word album. We talked about that. And so someone had given me a birch bark heart on a piece of string that I had hung by the guitars and had the idea that I was going to go hang it outside this last spring. I went to the door, hung it by the door, and from the time it took me to walk from my front door to my kitchen, the entire first verse and the melody was there in my head like this lightning bolt. And I thought, well, if it's that loud, I ought to write it down.
Right. Does that happen often?
No. No, it doesn't. I wish the muse worked like that more often. Most of the time she makes you work.
Right, right. This is 14 songs. That's pretty ambitious for an album. Mostly it's 10 songs. Maybe, if you're lucky, 12. And I mean lucky. What I've been seeing lately is 8 to 10 on most albums.
It's true. And it was so some of these songs are a little bit older. But had never actually been produced on an album before or released. So it was time to put them together. So I went to Thunderclap with mm-hmm. John Carpenter and again with Jeff Sarver's encouragement. Mm-hmm. And one of them is not a song on there. One of the cuts is just a minute of a message from my husband to me that I had Jeff read.
Oh, I Love You Because?
I Love You Because,
okay.
Yes.
So Jeff does the vocal on that?
He does the vocal on that, and then he's also my backup singer, and he's not playing guitar on any of this. It's only me, Scott Pizzera, and John Carpenter, and then I've got Carolyn Keeble from Kalamazoo area in Michigan doing the percussion.
So these are newly recorded, but not all new songs.
No. Most of the songs are new, but and there's one cover, actually, on there from a singer-songwriter from Canada by the name of Ken Yates, and that's the song Leave Me the Light On.
Okay.
And he was very generous in allowing me to perform the song and making the rights available for me. And so that was... It was fun to put a cover on a song, on an album of mine for a change.
And it's pretty much an unknown cover, so the general population is going to think it's an original song.
There's a good likelihood that that might be the case.
So how did you get that song?
I was performing last year at a John Prine tribute, and the engineer, the sound engineer, Evan, was playing... music in between, waiting for us to all go on stage. Mm-hmm. And I walked by and heard one line from the song and went, oh my God, that's a great line. One of the volunteers walked by, said, oh, love Ken Yates. So now I had
a name.
The name Ken Yates and a line from the song. And I went and searched him. And
is he local?
He's in Canada.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, he's a Canadian singer-songwriter, and I looked him up, wrote to what I thought was going to be his management team, and he wrote me back personally.
And said, sure, do it.
And said, yeah, go ahead, and yes, I'd like to hear it. So I sent him the roughs, and he approved, and so we went forward with it from there.
Excellent. I'm not familiar with him. I'll have to look him up. Let's play another song. We have track number 9, I Will Be Here Still.
Which is the lightning song.
The lightning song that you had as you're hanging your birch art.
That's correct.
All right. How much of the lightning was in here, and how much did you have to work?
Well, the first verse and melody came instantaneously.
Okay.
The rest of it was there within 24 hours.
Okay. Do you write on guitar?
I do.
Okay. Let's do this. Again, this is new music, Patty Schaffner. The album, From the Left Side of My Heart, engineered and mixed by Mr. John Carpenter over at Thunderclap. And let's do it.
Hang a wooden heart from a branch in a willow tree. Let it weather there and remember me. Let grace and time do the work they will. When the heart is gone, I will be here still, loving you. In your darkest night, when my face you cannot see, close your eyes and let your heart soar free. I will come to you on the softest wings. You will hear my voice as the nightbird sings, loving you. Everything must end. That's how it all begins again. And if you should doubt that my love is true, here's what I would have you do. Plant a seed in the earth so warm and sweet. There let it rest and through the winter keep. As spring does come and the seed will grow, when you see that green, you will surely know that I'm loving you.
Beautiful stuff. I will be here still. That is new music. And pardon my little computer noise there. Turn that down. New music from The Left Side of My Heart, Patty Schaffner, out since August. And featuring on harmonies there, Mr. Jeff Sarver, one of the great songwriters of our region and an incredible guitar player in his own right, but he's singing here. He's not playing or writing with you on this.
No, just singing. And there is one cut on the album that is just 1 minute long, and it is a message that my husband had written to me, mm-hmm. and I wanted it to be read. So I had Jeff read it, and actually it's the cut just before the song that you just heard.
Well, let's play that, and then we're going to talk about your connection with
Jeff.
Oh, you're
going to go ahead and play that little cut?
Yeah, we're going to play that. It's, it's short, and we're going to get to it because it's an important part, and it's right smack dab in the middle of the album.
Yep.
So let's play that. This is I Love You Because.
I love you because my heart is not stupid. It recognized you the first moment I saw you. It said, wow, Dave, that one's strong enough and wise and whole enough to help you heal, to remake yourself into the man that you want to be. My heart knew you right away. At first sight, it just knew that is why I love you, because my heart is not stupid. It knew passing such a love would have been a tragic mistake. My heart knew what it wanted before I even knew your name.
I love you because, spoken word, Jeff Sarver sitting in on that one, and the words by David Cowan?
Cowan, yeah.
Which was your husband.
Yes.
And was that something that should have been on the last album? It sounds like it would have fit perfectly.
It probably would have, but I wanted to save it for this once I realized that I was going to be doing a music album.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it to sit in there because this is the album of like trying to figure out, okay, so
where do you go now?
How does my life unfold now? And so I wanted to make sure that that message got in there because, well, there's actually a progression in the album, even though there's 14 cuts. And I know that is, as you said, ambitious. Mm-hmm. And also, interestingly, the didgeridoo that you heard and the pan drum that you heard was David playing.
Oh, wow.
Those were some of the cuts that Jeff had that we were able to use for the last album.
Right.
And so this was a piece that he had in the background.
Jeff Sarver, I haven't talked to him in a long time, but still one of my favorite songwriters, one of the most gifted people I know from this area. How did you tie in with Jeff? You guys have a real kismet.
Yes, we do. And it's because when Jeff had, he had an accident where he had injured his hand, and my husband was a healer. He was a nurse. He was had taught Qigong, and he was also a musician, so Jeff had called him and said, hey, Dave, I can't play, so I want you to come over and just lay some bass tracks down for me, some drum, percussion, whatever. Just give me something to work with. Give mm-hmm. me something to work with. So David would go over to record, and Jeff would be in his, very excited state.
Almost manic when
almost
it comes
manic,
to music, yeah.
Yes. And
he's so passionate.
He is very passionate about it. And so David would say, Jeff, I'm not going to work with you until you do 3 wall squats, which is a Qigong practice,
okay.
You know. I'm not going to until you calm down, you know. So he said, when David died, one of the first people that I saw in that first week after was Jeff came to my house. He was nearby, and he said, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, what can I do? And then he found, what can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? My God, David saved my life. David saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he had found these files or refound the files that had been created and said, we have to do something with them. And so that's how the spoken word album came. And then, you know, so after that, he's like, I love your music. I want to be more involved. What can you do? So here we are still
wow.
creating.
And that surprises me in some
together.
Ways because Jeff is very much focused on his own muse. And he has so much creative juices. And he's constantly outputting albums. He's recorded more local albums, I think, than anyone I know over the years. And they're all good. He just keeps putting it forth. So that he would take the time and find as much value in working with you as he does in his own work, that speaks volumes for someone like Jeff. It really does. And I mean that with every compliment possible. And then you tie in with John Carpenter, another brilliant producer, guitarist, songwriter with Nomad Planets and with Thunderclap Studio. And, you know, he works with Eric Lambert, who we were talking about off air. And you have just built this very small wall, but it's a powerful wall.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the amount of talent that is on this little bitty album right here.
I know. And as we were talking also off air was Scott Pizzera, who mm-hmm. is originally from this area, from Crown Point. And he's a phenomenal bass player and guitarist and just amazing. And he was on that first cut that we heard on Balancing Act doing the bass for me. And so, yes, I'm very fortunate to have worked with some really, really talented people. And it was Jeff that hooked me up with John Carpenter. Okay. And, yeah, I'm very glad to be working with him.
What was your first encounter with John? Because John's a busy guy, and he's got a lot of people that love to work with him. When he heard your music, what kind of feedback did you get from John?
Well, and I got the feedback not directly from John, but I got it from Jeff. Because okay. he said, John really likes your voice. He really likes your songs. He really does. He really likes them. I told him you were great.
You have a fan club out there.
So now I just was in the studio on Tuesday, actually, with John recording a brand new song that I will release as a single. And when I sent him the rough of it, he said, oh, I really like this one. So we've already laid some track on that one. And hoping, actually, after talking with Brian Lubeck last night, he might actually be putting some guitar on that.
And for the listeners, Brian is the guy that we had on last Friday we were talking about that had some of his great jazz instrumental, Spanish-influenced instrumental. Another amazing guy from just across the state line.
Yeah.
Now, you played with him at the Acorn when?
Last night, yeah. Actually, it was
had
the
you
first
played
time
with Brian before?
I had never met Brian before.
Wow. You have this habit of running into the most brilliant people and becoming friends, like, instantly.
Well, I do have some energy in that direction.
Wow.
Maybe it's the years of theater. I've been performing in this area since I was 31. And, well, so that's been a few years now.
Just a couple. Last night, Eric Lambert and Char were at the Lounge's record bin doing our paint pour for the charity for the shelter animals, and they were eating tacos and painting records, and I mentioned you were going to be on the show, and Eric was like, I love her new album. She is just so brilliant. It's like you have praise and admiration and respect from some of the people that I think are the finest our area's ever produced. So that puts you in a very good company.
Thank you.
So we've got to get your name and your music out outside of this region. How are you marketing outside of here? Because clearly everyone knows you here.
Yes, and now that I am a member of the Folk Alliance.
Okay. Is that new? Is that something new joined?
It's just I finally joined. Okay. I've been encouraged for a number of years to do that. But
I know Eric said he got a lot of help with the last album through that.
He did, through Carrie Estrin and some of the others, through the Folk Alliance. And so now my job is to get my music out to some of the other folk DJs and get some more airplay. I've already got airplay from Lily Kuzma up at WDCB out of Glen Ellen. She loves the album and has already played 3 or 4 cuts from it. And
I know Eric said he just got added New Zealand. He's got
that's
two tracks.
Great.
Yeah, he's going worldwide. He's going global. So that's the next step for you. Maybe you guys can kind of piggyback.
We
some
actually
of your stuff.
Have been talking about doing a show together, actually, even though his is more Americana and mine is whatever I fit into.
Yeah, you're hard to describe. Even your website says Jazz Dakini.
It's true.
And your Facebook, you know, Jazz Dakini. What exactly is that?
Well, the word
I got
jazz
part.
Dakini,
what's
right?
Dakini?
A Dakini is a female Buddhist icon from Tibetan Buddhism, and the root of the word Dakini is Dak, and it means to beckon with sound. So at the time that I created my website, I was only doing jazz. I had the Uptown Trio with Waz and with my husband and Kiki Doe on drums. And then I was working with a lot of other people like Scott Pizzera, Leandro Lopez Verde out of Chicago, Curtis Prince on drums. I've worked with some really amazing jazz people as well. And so that was what I was doing primarily when I created the website. And I decided, that's what I am.
Jazz.
Jazz. And even in my folk trio, I'm the jazzy one.
Okay. Jazz is an Americana music, just like blues and just like folk. And I guess you could call that an Americana.
In a way. It does
it's
have
kind of
its
stretching
roots.
The term Americana a little bit there. But as we're hearing here, I mean, there's a lot of variations of things in your music. There's a lot of influences, a lot of flavorings, a lot of seasonings that are drawn from different aspects of popular music.
World music, Celtic music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can hear Celtic in a lot of your stuff.
Traditional folk, jazz. Even a little country once in a while.
Okay. You say that with a little trepidation, like, country.
Well, you know, I do have a song called I Don't Do Country that was...
I didn't know that. Was that on an earlier album?
That was on an earlier album, okay. And it was actually a finalist in the Great American Songwriting Contest as well as a... the first runner-up at the Acorn in 2014. So my picture is on the wall at the Acorn Theater.
I did
up in
see
Three
that
Oaks.
Before.
Yes.
You're up there with a few others, and Gene Stewart's up there as
and,
well, the late Gene Stewart.
Mark Nielsen as well.
Yeah. Mark, what a talent. I'm looking at your Facebook page, and you talk about loving to walk in the woods. You're showing Warren Woods State Park. Is that where the influences come? Is that where the muse talks to you when you get when you're looking for inspiration? Is it a Mother Nature thing?
I wish I could say it was just Mother Nature. It's not just Mother Nature, though. It's people.
Mm-hmm.
It's although if I had to say Mother Nature, if you threw me back onto the big island of Hawaii that I love so much, yeah, I get a lot of inspiration from there as well, from that land and from the people. But I love Warren Woods up there just across the state line from where I'm at. It is an inspiring place. In fact, the day...
The pictures are beautiful. I mean, the video you shot here is just remarkable.
Well, and what you can't hear is that when I walked into the woods that day, I thought I was hearing rushing water, and I know that all there is just this sort of, like, slow-moving, marshy water there, and mm-hmm. I thought, what the heck? Walked over to the ridge, and it was birds.
That sounded like water?
That sounded like rushing water.
Wow.
It was just amazing. So I'm sure something will come out of that. I have no doubt.
I could see you with your style of music tape recording some of the nature sounds and incorporating that into some of your music.
Absolutely. And
it would lend itself well.
And to make that happen correctly, I need Jeff Sarver because he does that so well.
Yeah, yeah. Great stuff. Let's play another track. Again, this is brand new stuff. How can you get this? Obviously, through the website.
You can get it through the website. You can. I don't have it distributed physically anywhere right now. However, it is available.
We'd be happy to carry it at the record bins.
I'll bring you some.
All right.
And I also then am digitally available pretty much on almost all of the streaming services right now. Bandcamp, if you go to Bandcamp, pattyshaffner.bandcamp.com, okay. And you can
and
actually
double
buy.
Double F, folks, double F.
Yes, Schaffner. And no C.
Yeah.
S-H-A-F-F-N-E-R.
Wow. You have a few different albums out that are on your website,
yes.
Including the spoken word that brought you here about a year ago. Are the older ones still available?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have re-released my original album of Everything Changes again and changed it up so that on the physical album there are some songs that have not been previously released on a compilation.
Okay.
They've only been released as singles.
You have Dervish Heart, which I have heard, and Song Sisters Live. I don't think I ever got a copy of that.
I will have to get you one.
What is
Song
that?
Sisters is my folk trio. We have Amy Dixon Kohler from Fox River Grove and Sue Fink from Chicago, and the three of us make up Song Sisters. Sue is very... funny and poignant. Amy is very traditional folk, and I bring the jazz. And so together we are A very interesting trio, and we do harmonies together.
Just the one album?
Just the one so far. COVID was kind of put us back. We were going to work on putting together a second album, and oh, well.
So that could be another touring show.
It could be another touring show, yes.
With this, before we get to the next song, with this album, From the Left Side of My Heart, how are you going to, when you're on the road, how are you going to be performing it? You have great talent in the studio with you. Are you creating a live band? Will these guys be joining you, or are you doing a solo woman and guitar?
I'm doing it solo woman and guitar.
Okay.
If enough interest happens, I would be more than happy to bring some other folks into it. And if Eric and I do things together, perhaps Eric could do some guitar on some of the songs with me. But right now it's kind of what I've been doing since I started doing this at the Court Restaurant in Valparaiso.
A long time ago.
So many years ago.
Yeah. Remember the stairs that would go all the way up? You had to carry your gear? Well, you didn't have much.
I didn't have to because I was performing downstairs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was rough. I remember carrying a lot of amps up those stairs.
That was in the big room upstairs.
Yeah.
No, this was before that.
Okay.
This was downstairs.
Do you have any dates coming up?
I do. December 4th, I'm going to be at the Wild Rose Moon in Plymouth, Indiana, and I'm going to be sharing the bill with a young woman from South Bend by the name of Anna P.S.
Okay.
And that's going to be on December 4th at 8 o'clock in Plymouth, Indiana, and the information about that is on my website. I've got an online private show because, yes, we're still doing Zoom music.
Okay.
And then I will be back at the Acorn on December 22nd to do an open mic, Christmas open mic that night. And then the next thing that I have isn't coming up currently, and who knows what may happen between now and then, is March of 2022. I'll be at the Acorn doing the music of Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald with some of our other some of our other amazing vocalists from this area, Lauren Dukes and Janelle Pierce and Carla Denise Ramsey are all going to be involved in that show, and we're getting that all put together for March 26th of next year.
I see on your calendar there's something called the Music of Carole King. Now, we just had Leland Sklar, who just played with Carole at the Rock and Roll Induction last week and is part of her documentary.
Wow.
Tell me about that. Is that past or present?
That was past.
Aww.
And that was, we did three shows. We sold out two of them. It was five women from the ages of 20 to 70, me being on the high end of that. And we were representing all of these decades of Carole's music. We each did two Carole tunes and then did an original tune and did some songs together as well.
Where was that done at?
Well, the first one was done up in Buchanan, Michigan, mm-hmm. at their park up there. The second one was done at Fernwood in Niles, Michigan. And the third one was done at the Acorn itself.
How was the response?
It was amazing. We had 300 people in the Acorn wearing masks.
Wow.
To watch the five of us, and we had a sold-out show at the Fernwood Botanical Gardens of about 130 people, which was their capacity. And then in Buchanan, that was the first one, and we probably had a good 75 or 100 people setting out on the lawn for that one back in July.
So this is not a tribute as much as it is your interpretation of Carole's music?
Exactly. Exactly. And what was fun was, I mean, I was young and listening to Carole's music when Tapestry came out.
Mm-hmm.
And the 20-year-old, her exposure to Carole's music was through the Gilmore Girls.
Oh,
where
wow.
And the theme song.
Yeah.
And so, because she said, well, sure, I'll be in the Carole King show. I don't think I know any. Oh, yes, I do.
Wow.
Natalie Gazo was in on that show as well.
That's interesting. I would love to see that if you ever reboot that.
Well, we would love to, and who knows what might happen this next year.
And that's similar with the Billie and Ella show is going to be, right? Where
very
you get all
similar.
These great singers, and you're going to do their or your interpretations of their music.
Exactly.
As opposed to trying to imitate them.
We don't want to imitate them, although I do love to scat, and I can do the ornithology scat from How High the Moon.
Wow. We'll have to have you back with some of the ladies before
that
happens.
That would be awesome.
And do a little preview of what that's going to be so we can get some tickets sold there.
All right.
That is interesting. I love Billie Holiday, and I'm a fan of Ella, but I really love Billie Holiday. Lady Day was one of the early influences on me.
Wow. Wow.
And I got to thank Diana Ross for that.
Well, there you go. And for me, Ella Fitzgerald has always been like the way that she was able to keep her voice like butter all the way till the end.
That's right. Let's play another song. We have Shadow and Light. Before we get to this, you said there's a story behind this.
There is. Jenny Benneman from Chicago, singer-songwriter, she put together with a grant from the Illinois Arts Commission a book of haiku. What she did was take photos with her iPhone, 100 photos, one a day, and then wrote one a day a haiku, put those together into a book. Half the proceeds went back to the Lighthouse for the Blind in Chicago. Being Jenny, that wasn't enough, so she created an album of ambient music to go with it. But Jenny being Jenny, that wasn't enough because people who were visually impaired couldn't appreciate the book that was benefiting them. So she created an audiobook of it. And then being the collaborator that she is, she came to those of us who were her singer-songwriter friends and said, pick a haiku, write a song based on it. And so I picked a haiku that said, forgive me all that I have left undone, beguiled by light and shadow. And so that is the inspiration for this one. And as I began to think about the interplay of light and shadow, I remembered a movie with Michelle Pfeiffer and Rutger Hauer, and it was called Lady Hawk, and they were cursed. And so during the day, she was a hawk, and he was a man, and at night he was a wolf, and she was a woman. And the only time that they could touch was just at dusk and dawn as they were in their transformation. And so that's how the inspiration for this song came to be.
Wow. And did any of the proceeds from this album then help the Lighthouse as well?
From this album?
No, from her album.
Oh, from her album? Well, we didn't end up on an album. We ended up in live shows.
Oh, okay.
And she's still continuing to do that. She calls them the haiku milieu. And she does these up at Fitzgerald's and at Uncommon Ground. And we've done it at the Uncommon Ground on Devon. And also, there's another place that she's done one of the haiku milieu and has another one upcoming.
Wow.
And she just, Steve Doss and other singer-songwriters from Chicago, she's pulled us all in this collaborative way to create
this. And this song is separate from that. This is one that was inspired by that.
It was this. I did that, wrote this song based on all of that, and then performed it live and then recorded it this year on the album.
All right, this is it. Shadow and Light is track number 2 on the new album, From the Left Side of My Heart. Patty Schaffner, she'll be back with us after this.
Shadow, you be light. Meet me at dawn before the sun, just before the stars have gone, at the edges of our time. You and I live in different worlds, yet not so very far apart. You craft a pattern on my heart, dancing as we do together. Forgive me all I do not do, beguiled by you. Beguiled by you. Oh, dressed in stars and pale moon, a constant brilliance in my dark, I could gaze at you forever. Forgive me all I do not do, beguiled by you. Beguiled by you. I'll be shadow, you be light. Meet me at dawn before the sun, just before the stars have gone, at the edges of our time together. Dancing as we do forever. Forgive me all I do not do, beguiled by you.
Musical answer to film noir, Shadow and Light.
That's great.
You can use that. From the left side of my heart, that is new music, Patty Schaffner, inspired by haiku. I love that. Your voice is just so flowing. It's got that ring of familiarity, but I can't say sounds like. There's a little Judy Collins. There's a little Joan Baez's little Julie London in there. I mean, it's just, I am fans of all of those ladies, and your voice just, it stands alone, but yet it's in good company.
Thank you. I actually got, on stage, I got compared to Edith Piaf. I didn't know how I felt about that because I really didn't know much about Edith Piaf. But
my daughter's a fan of hers. I'm not that familiar with her.
I've decided, well, it must be okay company. And then, of course, I often hear Joni.
Right.
And I think it's more, not so much my vocal quality as it is just the way that I play, the songs that I write, and the style that I write in, because I was strongly influenced by Joni.
I am just now reintroducing myself to Joni Mitchell. I passively liked her young, but I was more of a rock guy. And in the last, I'd say, year and a half, because I'd have a couple customers come into the record bin and they say, do you have Blue? Do you have Mingus? Do you have this? Do you have that? And I'm like, what is with the rush on Joni Mitchell? I knew like three songs, you know, and I thought, once you get past the Taxi song, it's like it's all downhill, or Woodstock. And then she wasn't even there at Woodstock, so does it really count? And then I looked into the story about Woodstock and how she wrote it from what David Crosby and Graham Nash told her and blah, blah, blah. And I've reintroduced myself with an adult ear on who Joni Mitchell is and why she mattered. And then when you watch the Canyon stuff, you know, the documentaries, you realize just how pivotal she was. She's like the mother of that sound.
Well, and interestingly, so having done the Carole King thing this summer and reading and listening to her autobiography, she talked about being in the studio recording Tapestry at the same time that Joni Mitchell was recording Blue. So 50 years ago. And they're competing for one particular room that has this piano in it that is supposed to be amazing. Now, they both played piano. And so it's, no, I'm sorry, Carole, but Joni's already got that album or that room booked. And so they would have to go in after hours into that room to record some of the tunes.
Wow. That's amazing. That makes me want to play both those albums. That makes me want to play both those albums on the radio one day, back to back.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And you can come in and narrate and comment on it.
And I, because I know about Joni and I know about, you know. Yeah, in fact, I just read an article that Robert Plant was so enamored of Joni, and that Joni said later that she, when she was in the Canyon at that time, all these people were writing together. It was an incredibly creative time. And she said they would often, you know, they'd like kind of give her the high, and then they would walk the other way. And she assumed it was some sort of elitism, and it was because they were intimidated by her.
Wow. That's crazy. See, good things do come from Canada. Now, it was interesting because the first hour show with Leland Sklar, he was talking about how they were all members of James Taylor's band, including Carol. She was playing piano with them as part of that session group. She had just come from the Goffin King camp at the Brill Building and was getting into her own, had not done any recording yet. Comes out of the gate with Tapestry, and he's like, seriously? He goes, now we got to find a new piano player because she can't be part of Jackson's or James's band anymore.
Right.
Because she's a headliner.
Right.
So,
she hadn't wanted to be. Yeah. She hadn't wanted to be the headliner at all. She never wanted to do that. But when Tapestry came out, they kind of pushed the envelope on that and mm-hmm. said, you have to tour.
I've never had a chance to interview or talk with Carol. I have interviewed her daughter, Louise Goffin, many times, but who is very good herself, but a lot of people have not put her on the radar. But interesting stuff. We have you really got to go back sometimes, people. You know, who you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, your musical tastes and your tastes in everything were different. Your books, your movies. Go back and listen to some of these pivotal artists, like I'm doing now with Joni Mitchell, and you will discover a treasure trove of amazingness. And I'm doing that now because a lot of the newer artists, and I don't mean to sound old, but I am, a lot of the newer artists I don't get. But now I'm going back and listening to artists that I should have gotten but didn't because I was too busy headbanging or whatever I was doing back then and taking with a new sense of musical sensibilities and appreciation, hearing these for the first time. Miles Davis, I did the same thing with Miles about 5-6 years ago. I rediscovered Miles, and I'm like, wow, how did I miss this the first time
around?
Right,
right. You know? How did I not know that what I was listening to was Chick Corea?
Yeah, exactly.
But I was liking it.
Right.
You know, it's like going back and reading the classics.
True.
There's reasons to do that.
That's true. So what's going to happen now with this album? I mean, it's out. You're selling it online. Is it selling well? You're getting radio play.
I'm getting radio play. Nothing's selling really well right now, but I've sold a few. I was hoping to sell a few last night, but we were all involved in saying farewell to our artistic director at the Acorn, and so it was. And even poor Brian didn't sell anything last night, I don't think. But I am going to be moving forward with getting some more DJ folk DJ radio play, distributing it that way. And if you're gonna put it available
in both our stores.
Record bins, I will get them to you and we can make it available there.
We were talking off air about maybe having you do a show there. I mean, whether you want to join an open mic is fine, but do your own show and showcase these songs and others. And have some of your friends come out, and we'll do an event.
I would love to.
We can do a fundraiser for a cause of your choice.
I would like that as well.
You know, whatever your cause would be, whether it be songwriting or the Lighthouse for the Blind, like your friend, or whatever.
Or something like the Caring Place or Truth House. Those have always been near and dear to me.
Then let's do something. Use the room, bring your friends, and we'll do a modest charge, and all the money will go. We'll do a tip jar. We'll sell merch, whatever you need.
That'd be awesome. I would love that. I will do the reaching out that I need to do to make that happen in some way.
You can pick your night, too.
All right.
I'm pretty flexible.
Awesome.
All right. Patty Shafter, you can keep up with her at Jazz Dakini. That's DAKINI, like bikini, but not. JazzDakini.com is the website. You can find her under her own name on Facebook. Is there any other places we should direct them?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at JazzDakini as well. I've tried to be consistent. And actually, if you Google my name, there's lots of options that will come up for you because I've been involved in a lot of local theater and fundraisers over the years. So.
What got you into music?
My dad.
Okay.
He had a beautiful baritone voice and taught me to sing harmonies as soon as I could talk. And so I was singing barbershop harmonies at his knee.
Are you from here,
Indiana? I am born and raised in Gary and still live in Gary. And people say, what are you doing in Gary? I said, somebody has to be from Gary, and still am.
That's true. Somebody's got to be there. Why not you?
And why not me? Why not me?
All right. Let's play a final track. I think we have time for this. Take Me Home. What's this song about?
It's about hope.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need a lot of that.
It's about hope. It's about, you know, making the rights of your past, the wrongs of your past.
Right.
Yes. And it's about, you know, coming home to yourself.
Hmm. How did this song come about? What inspired this? Is this new? Is this
it
old?
It is new. It is new. And that was sort of another lightning song. The muse was whispering quite loudly for a little while there. And three songs happened within about a two-week period. And this one was the middle of the night, and I was playing with a chord progression and came up with the chorus. And suddenly I found myself writing the rest of the song. I don't know how these things happened. So
I'm almost thinking only because of your past and the tight chemistry and connection. This is like David whispering in your ear.
Very much on "I Will Be Here Still," that song. I very much feel like that was a gift from him. So in fact, I wrote my first instrumental after he died, and I never wrote an instrumental, but he played instrumentals frequently. So I do feel like it's him.
All right, fingerprints all over this one. This is "Take Me Home." Patty Schaffner has been my guest. You can keep up with her at jazzdakini.com. Look her up on Instagram under the same, Jazz Dakini, and then also under her own name, and that's S-H-A-F-F-N-E-R. S-H-A-F-F-N-E-R. Patty with an I, and you'll discover all sorts of interesting things about this lady from Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana. All right.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to have you. Take me home, Jose. Take me home.
Set my